What a dream. Two people curious about food, the chef with serious restaurant chops, the writer and designer who knows how to handle a camera, and an agenda taking them around the world, 12 countries in 18 months. Well, this is The Perennial Plate. Its creator, Chef Daniel Klein, and videographer Mira Fine are here in the studio. Mira, Daniel, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
So you're just back from the first leg of the trip, right? Mm-hmm. And you were in China and Japan. So what stands out in your mind right now, for instance, about China?
We found this woman named Miss Yang. She's 32 years old. She lives in Kunming, which is in the Yunnan province. And she grew up in a village and then left to go to school and to be in the business world, and decided after being in the business world for a while and learning more about food that she wanted to create a restaurant that was focused only on local food that was organic. So she created this restaurant in Kunming and then gets most of her produce and her meats actually from her family in the village 2 hours away.
She found in the business world that she was quite unhappy and unfulfilled, and was living her life in this sort of dream that her parents and many Chinese parents apparently have for their children, which is that they get away from the farm.
Right.
And she actually found that she didn't like that life that they had hoped for her, and she wanted to come back and even maybe farm. And it was sort of shameful if she would move back. And
her, her parents were ashamed.
Her neighbors would be like, why? Why would your daughter come back to the countryside to farm? And so struggling with that, she decided that opening a restaurant and supporting her parents through buying their produce would be a good way for her to reconnect with her roots without sort of bringing shame or bringing this sort of backwardsness to her family. And when we asked them what they thought of their daughter opening this restaurant, supporting the community, they weren't very talkative, but they said if they could say one word, they would say support.
Uh-huh.
So they supported their daughter in what she was doing, and also shared that they had been making a lot more money since working with the daughter to sell the produce.
Right.
And the other really interesting thing about the story, I think, is that the restaurant in Kunming is this beautiful restaurant in this like beautiful space that she's decorated really, really elegantly. And then we went in this van with her and drove 2 hours to her village. And it's just this huge dichotomy in this very poor, small village. You know, it's just a very different environment.
And we made tofu together, which as a chef was fascinating. I had never made tofu before directly from the beans. So we ground them, made the soy milk, cooked it in each home in China in the countryside has a fire with a huge wok over the fire. And it's where they do all their cooking and cleaning and everything out of that one thing. So we were served lunch, fried, you know, pork belly and all these different things. And then they cleaned it out and cooked the soy milk in the wok. And it was so much better than any tofu I'd ever had.
And it was cool. I don't know if you've seen this before, where they, we saw them all over China. They take the head of a huge sunflower, and it's sun-dried, and they just put it on the table, and you pick out the sunflower seeds. So we sat there, like, sitting on the floor with this huge sunflower head, eating the sunflower seeds and drinking the warm soy milk while we were waiting for the rest of the soy to coagulate into tofu.
I've never seen that. What did you find in Japan?
In Japan, I mean, Japan is a culinary wonderland. So it was fascinating for me to eat there. And we had a wonderful experience at a gentleman who grows his own wheat and buckwheat to produce udon and soba noodles at a small town outside of Tokyo. And he was really about preserving the culture of this area that he grew up in. It's a farming area. And he didn't want to lose that. There's these beautiful community gardens, beautiful farms, and you can see the city sort of starting to develop in this area. Mm-hmm. There's a big mall that's been built up near his home. So he wanted to preserve that, but just by growing wheat, he couldn't make enough money. And so he had been learning about udon and soba since he was a child because his parents made it. And he found that by opening a restaurant and sharing these traditional ways, he would be able to sell, you know, by adding value, he was able to preserve this farmland that he had had, that his family had had for all these years.
And I understand the making of those noodles is considered high craft.
It is. Mira has a sort of a funny story about making them.
Okay, so I was filming, and Mr. Shimizu-san, who was the man that we were filming, he came over to me and said, okay, I'm about to make the noodles. Do you want to see me make the dough? And so I said, okay. And so he was making this dough, which is just wheat, water, and salt. And then he put it on the floor in a bowl, put a plastic bag over it, and stepped in the bowl and started marching in a circle.
Oh, my.
And I didn't realize that happened. I later found out that that is a very traditional way, because using your feet helps create like an elasticity.
Makes so much sense when you think about it. You know, that you can achieve with your feet and the weight of your body a kind of kneading that you can't achieve if you're just using your hands.
Exactly. And he had Mira actually do it as well.
Yeah, it's hard to keep your balance.
So what did the noodles taste like?
Well, it was summertime, so in summertime you serve the noodles cold, and in wintertime you serve them hot.
Right.
And so what you're going for is they swell in the water when you cook them. So you want sort of this soft texture on the outside and then a bite in the middle. Sort of equivalent to al dente, but they're much more like chewy. They have more of a bounce back to them.
Yeah.
And you dip them usually in a dashi, in a broth made with katsubushi or soy sauce, and served with various local vegetables.
Now, Mira, you're a vegetarian, so how did this trip work for you?
Going into the trip, when I would tell people about it, they would say, oh, Japan will be great. Good luck in China. And it was actually just the opposite. Japan, everything is made with dashi, with fish or with meat in some way. Dashi is the Japanese broth. But I was able to find certain things that I did like, which I later found out were made with dashi as well. But like, is it sekko mono, I think? It's the pickled things.
Oh, yes. All the pickled vegetables.
Yeah. Which they have at the beginning of every meal in Japan. And they usually have the daikon radish, which is pickled. But one time they had this hot, hot pink shiso pickled garlic, which I just fell in love with. It was amazing. And as for China, I was so surprised, because yin and yang is a very important philosophy in China, especially when it comes to food. So yin foods are foods that tend to bring the body temperature down. That's what they say. And they're usually vegetables. And yang foods are foods that bring the body heat up, which are meats. Except they did say that yin includes donkey. And yang also includes garlic.
I knew that. I knew that.
Donkey is delicious, by the way.
Interesting.
We had donkey sandwiches and donkey dumplings.
By we, he means he did.
Yes.
You too. You've been delightful. Thanks for coming. Can't wait to hear the next reports.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Daniel Klein is founder of The Perennial Plate. Mira Fine is the videographer. Check out their videos on the website, splendidtable.org.